Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
We'll start today with the news that the Cabinet has agreed a new comprehensive accommodation strategy for international protection applicants, which seeks to address the current accommodation shortfall while reforming the system over the long term. The reforms will see a move away from full reliance on private providers and towards a core of state-owned accommodation. It comes as a protest continues outside the former Crown Paints warehouse in Coolock in Dublin. The Department of Integration says this site is currently being considered for accommodation for international protection applicants. Our reporter Una Kelly has more and she joins me now. Una, what details do we know about this new accommodation strategy?
Well, Cormac, I'm here at the Department of Integration where a briefing for media on this new plan is still going on. So the plan is to deliver 14,000 state-owned beds by 2028. Some of that will be supplemented by some commercial providers. Now, the department says the aim of the strategy is to end the use of unsuitable accommodation options that they're currently relying on. For example, when they're using the only hotel that might be remaining in a town. Now, the accommodation will be delivered through a variety of methods. They'd be using state land for prefab and modular units, converting commercial buildings like empty offices, and also purchasing some larger turnkey properties. Now, there's also a plan to design and build some new reception and integration centres and upgrade IPAS centres. These were formerly known as direct provision centres. The department says that a number of state-owned sites have already been identified with assessments going now underway for use, with the attention to bring the first sites into use within months. Now, at the briefing today, they also gave some details, some figures they have on the arrivals of Ukrainians into the state. They come in under the Temporary Protection Directive. They said that they are no longer procuring any new commercial accommodation for Ukrainians. They also said that more people are now leaving state accommodation, a daily average of 41 Ukrainians leaving state accommodation, either to live independently in Ireland or going on to another country. They also said that now only 50% of Ukrainians arriving here are now seeking state accommodation.
Okay, and it was higher previously. We have seen, Una, protests across the country, haven't we, in the past several months at locations where it was believed international protection applicants were to be housed.
Yes, Cormac, and one recently started in Coolock in Dublin. Now, the Department of Integration confirmed on Monday that it is considering the offer of the former Crown Paints warehouse to accommodate international protection applicants. They're proposing to use some modular units inside the warehouse, accommodating a mix of families, couples, single men and also single women. They say that an experienced and trusted accommodation provider has expressed interest in doing that and they're considering the proposal. So they said that people seeking international protection would be accommodated there on a gradual basis. It's estimated that there could be up to 500 people in those modular units in the warehouse eventually. Now, local representatives in Coolock told me that several hundred people were on the streets on Sunday night, protesting, some with placards saying things like "Coolock says no, Ireland first," etc. And I spent the morning in Coolock, and when I was there, there were about 10 individuals who were at the warehouse entrance. They had placards and tricolours there. I was speaking to Paul Scannell. He grew up in the area and he's now part of the group Dublin Communities Against Racism. He says that some of the anti-migrant sentiment that he saw expressed at the protest doesn't reflect the Coolock that he knows.
Well, first of all, the protests at the weekend, again, we found very disturbing with the amount of young people that were at it. You know, it gives out a really negative stereotypical image of this community. That is not representative of this community. I mean, if you want to see this community represented, go up to Parnell's on a Saturday morning and you'll see all the kids out, and even the young, they call them the nippers. And it's children from all ethnic backgrounds, all playing together. All of these children integrating into our community and integrating into Irish culture, you know, playing our Gaelic games. And that's the real community spirit of this the greater Coolock area. The people out there, I've observed them there this morning for about a half an hour or so. Of the hundreds and hundreds of cars and trucks and vans that have passed by, they got about five beeps. And I think that's indicative of the level of support that they have. They're a very small vocal, but they are very vocal, but they're not representative of this community or working class communities.
So people who may have come to protest here in Coolock, what do you think motivates some of them?
I think a lot of these people are marginalised. They're very angry, and they don't know how to express their anger, and it's easier for them to punch down against migrants and take their anger out at migrants.
And that's Paul Scannell. The Department of Integration, UNA, also said they set up community engagement teams. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, they say that's a group that will engage directly with elected representatives in the area and also community organisations with the purpose of improving the flow of information about new people coming into the area and helping local communities with accurate information. Now, Alison Gilliland is a Labour councillor representing the local area on Dublin City Council. She said that local councillors and TDs first received notification from the department about the warehouse about a week ago, saying that the warehouse might be used to house a mix of families, single men and single women. She said since then people have been contacting her about the protests, saying that it doesn't represent them. And she also says that local people were concerned about young people who may be impressionable becoming involved. I asked her to describe the level of engagement she's had from the government on the issue.
To be perfectly honest, and I know they're dealing with a lot, I don't know. As a local councillor, I got one communication with them last week. I haven't had any. I've been on to them, asking them questions. And we all know that when there is an information vacuum and local councillors like myself can't give local communities a response, rumour circulates, all those sort of comments, that misinformation grows legs and people start to believe the misinformation. And when the facts come, then they're in doubt because there has been such a space in the information coming.
That was Alison Gilliland there, a Labour councillor for the local area. And as well as elected representatives, community organisations are now seeking more information, they say, so that they can coordinate an integration process. Paul Rogers is the chief executive of the Northside Partnership. They're a local development company.
We have received some information about the potential of a new centre opening up on the site, but not a lot at the moment. We are engaging with the department to try and find more, but I think the department itself is in such a dynamic flux that they're trying to communicate with what little information they have, I suppose. These kind of contexts, they're not black and white. It's an emergent context, I suppose. And I know there'll be a lot of critique about perhaps how the department or government is communicating on this, but we're reaching out to try and engage with the department to try and find out as much as we can so that we can gear up and put in place what the resources we can, as best we can, to try and support members of new communities that may be coming into our area.
And that is Paul Rogers, Chief Executive of Northside Partnership, ending that report from UNA, Kelly.